copando soba quatatata abube le combe capiba ratale aibobe combe capilia lebrescopa tocambea ambibara comba scababe ebelian tomba cumbra batale aipope aipope ikopopopo akombo bakaba baratata. Oh, sebi kombe le ketikata. Sembe libros kambe bilitalo. Lobo be rombe tutata. Abe bibibi bobo da sante babiata. Komba ya gada biakados. Elo kabara kokoto kante. Embenon dade kante sante komata. Poi basko barai. Poi bakembre kolate. Koi bakaranta babi asata embogilate ekokopo kambe bekata ababi kamanrambe kastambe kobanata abebie tombe kapela tombe kabas kampata tombe kabia kambo ratola aruambe bilo kokoto ekopepe kombe beta ambi breske bilitilia lemibibi kompa bokatai. That transport system is available. Amen. Okay. Let's use a verse of scripture. Let's use a verse of scripture. There is a gate through which God wants me to break into this teaching this morning. And it's the gate of consecration. I'll tell you why in a few minutes. However, you see, when it comes to the issues of consecration, you can't be bullied in. According to Paul, you can only be urged to come in. I urge you. It means it's a movement in intelligence. You will need to put a lot of factors together because the place of consecration is a slimming place. God will need to trim your life before you can do business on that table. So, in case you consider that some things are too precious, you will not come. So, you are only urged to come. But I found out that there is a help system in God to bring a man that far. And it's that he beckons upon him. When you hear his voice, you can no longer say you didn't hear him. Revelation chapter 4. Let's climb in from there. I want to acknowledge the labors of my big brother, the Reverend Austin Opore, and this very robust, blessed team of ministers. Can we please celebrate them? I have not had the boldness to speak to Papa since yesterday night. So when I'm done this evening, I'll now call him to say, we're done. And then I trust God. When we labor to gain approval primarily with God, but there are also voices around us that watch over and give instructions about our lives. And so I'm trusting God for that voice to say, well done. I'm not playing to the gallery, but I trust Jesus. So you can trust them with me. After this, I looked, and if you have been studying your Bible, you will have found out that the events that took place before this were captured in the second and the third chapter of the book of Revelations. They were actually communications of the Christ to the seven churches in Asia Minor. These communications bordered on the reintroduction of the person of Jesus, a geography specific introduction of the Christ. You find out that across the seven letters, there were specific names the Lord called himself. However, in common, all of these letters had statements of appraisal, statements of rebuke, statements of commendation. Some of them had warnings. All of them had statements of reward, And all of them had a statement in encouragement unto overcoming. It was after these letters had been finalized that the one to whom the letters came for onward disbursement, John, was brought into this visionary experience. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now, it was not a door to be opened. What it meant was that the price for access had been paid. Someone had come in advance to remove the restrictions from access. It was a door opened in heaven, and this door, before it gave admittance to the man unto whom it was opened, it first gave admittance to a voice. There were many voices, but the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking to me. Naturally speaking, trumpets do not talk, right? So it meant that that voice was streaming at a frequency that was higher than the frequency that John was accustomed to. So he likened the sound to the sound of a trumpet. But he had help, because he was able to discern, even though it was a sound above his frequency, that it was a sound that was speaking. He will help your ears. Which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. So the first thing that the voice said was to bid God's man to come through the gate, to come through the door. We want to be invited. That's why I read here. What happened in the second verse? And immediately I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. Immediately I was in the spirit. That's where I'm going to. Our engagement is so that we can come into it. It's a vehicle that came. It's like you want to fly. You will need to come into the plane, except you are supernaturally aided to grow wings. Immediately, the voice came with a vehicle of transport. Now, it came to announce that that vehicle of transport is not separated from you. It's within you. But you will need to come into the consciousness of what is available so that you can be carried. That's why we need to pray. So we'll pray for another 2 minutes. And I want you to be intentional. That facility called the spirit has many possibilities when a man enters into it. One of the possibilities is the ability to be moved from a location into another. Understanding is not only communication sensitive, it's also location sensitive. If you are not there, you can't understand what is being said. Can we plead with the Lord that which has been made available will become appropriated this morning, so that you can change locations? You can ask. You can ask. So much has been said, but so much said may not be so much embodied, because a man has been hearing in a location that was not designed to furnish with understanding. But I want to ask him in 2 minutes that this transport facility will be engaged. There is a place to come into so that we can do accurate business with the word of God. The public domain furnishes only in parables. There was a secret place into which Jesus invited his disciples. A place that held the reality of demystification. This morning, oh God, we ask that we will be drawn closer. Memote subonia kopetatana. Ambilo brebon de katete matikope santoa. Ambiperambo kemai kopesilado naitopiria brekelo kota. That we will be drawn away from our giving.
and all of the possibilities of distraction, that we will be drawn from this hall of meeting into a place where it is just the Lord and His man, that I can be dealt with in isolation, though I find physical expression within a robust group. Jesus,
near a blessed Lord to the cross where thou wast died. So draw me nearer, near a blessed Lord to the precious Mami Fahaya. Draw me nearer. Send no Fahaya. Panto Fera Gia Kagome Kabe Bobi Kato Tatale Mevo Runa Tikasi Sabi Bobe Bahabai Sibo Beha Tatale Kaya. I Boglo Dona Bedro Bekibos Kotate Bambia te kombi kombe la kakata bote sentopia mate. Father, this morning we ask for a drawing. There is a communication that is escaping your lips, but your man is far away. Oh, we ask that we will hear this morning. This is a day of presentation. A day in which you have come to your people to advertise them to the dying world. A day in which your plan for illumination across the landscape is the emergence of a company of light. We understand by the readings of your heart that you are disappointed. You felt this was that day, but there are labors that need to still be put in place. Lord, we cause that our ears will hear. Not just words, but that these words will come trafficked by the strength of the readings in your heart. Men will not just hear, they will come into the knowing of your heart. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Thank you, sir. God bless you. You may please be seated. Romans chapter 12. The first two verses. I had finished my notes for this meeting, but I had to stay back a little, and that's why I came in a little bit late, because I felt that there was an entrance burden that the Lord was placing on my heart, a burden that I really could not unlock on time. And what I do when I sense that there is a communication I cannot receive, is that I isolate. So I had to sit still quietly for a long time. And if you have been quite accustomed to studying the word, those quiet moments first bring into the economy of many verses of scriptures. Because of your desperation to hear, many things that you have studied will be coming to you as though they were the things that God wants to say to you. And so there is the intentionality that creates quietness. You're not trying to track revelation. You just want a raw word from the Lord. And it was in that mode that I stumbled on Romans chapter 12. I was actually thinking it was inappropriate. But the Lord began a journey, and it took about 50 minutes of just sitting still and not being able to write anything, just listening to Him. He was speaking at a frequency that I could not write at. After a while, I was able to scribble a few things, but I trust the Lord that He will speak to you this afternoon. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to suggest that a series of communications had been sustained with the people who had come into one other identity of the believer. That's the word brethren. It's to bring to you the consciousness that the economies that have, and when we use the word economies, we speak of distributions of the realities of God that we came into by redemption. The economies that you have become a recipient of are not essentially unique. They are generally common. And that's, it's on that ground that we build the towers of our brotherhood. According to Paul's letter, that should be in Romans chapter 12, if I'm right. There are a list of about 7 to 8 things. Romans chapter 12. Should I go to read that? Okay. Let me not wear you out. There are about 6 to 8 things that forge the basis of our union. The consciousness of the same Lord, the consciousness of the same hope, the consciousness of a God who is not just God, but who is also Father over all, a consciousness of a common experience of baptism, a consciousness of the same faith. And there are about 8 or 9, about 7 or 8 of them. Paul was speaking to a people who already sustained common consciousness. And so he decided to call them brethren. However, he was placing a demand upon this unique company. And that demand was by the instrumentality of a currency of the Spirit that Paul referred to as the mercies of God. What Paul was about to bring them into can be referred to as a second layer of surrender to God. The first layer, which qualifies you to become part of the brethren, is that there was a time in your life that you came into the advertisement of the Christ as a Lord. And because He was clearly expressed to you or advertised to you, you decided to commit your life to Him. And in exchange, He gave you His life. So that, like our Father would say, and as depicted in scriptures, the testimony of the believer is not the testimony of change, but of exchange. When you called Him Lord, He took from you. And into the cavity that He took from, or the cavity that was created because of the loss of your life, He gave you His own. That's the testimony that I shared yesterday of Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. That I am crucified with Christ. I died. I lost my life. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that now lives in me. So that the life I now live is the same mortal body. I live by the faith of the Son of God, the one who owns the new life that powers me. Is somebody with me? Good. That's the design. Give me back my scripture. Let's not go there. I'll be lost here. The message of God, according to Paul, was the communication of the enterprise of God in securing the transition of a man from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. It cost God a lot. And so what Paul does is to advertise to the one who is saved, because if you check, you will find out that there was a problem in the church in Rome, a problem that has re-manifested in the church in Nigeria. It is a church of people who advertise the possession of the very life of God, but when you meet them, you do not see that life being expressed. There is a clear dichotomy between the reality of the spirit and that which is expressible in the soul and in the body. Such that in the attempts to teach on a subject such as the anatomy of the believer, you will need to bring the three of them back into tandem. If not, you will find out that you will not be able to come into a full list of the parts of the believer that make up his anatomy. Because when we speak of the anatomy of the believer, we are speaking of the total man. Parts of the anatomy find expression within the confines of your spirit, others within your soul, others within your body. And so there must be the union of the three of them. Are you with me? The psalmist understood that. So he made us transits like, "Oh Lord my God, early will I seek thee." That was the communication from the spirit. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee. He has achieved the fellowship of the total man in the pursuit of God. The average person still expresses in that divide that his spirit is for Christ, but his soul lives in Babylon and his body lives in Egypt. In the day that God wants to recover his man, he will need to labor on three levels. And that labor has been perfected. Because if you took a personal study of the experiences of Jesus in death, you will find out that he died on three layers. He died in his spirit, he died in his soul, and he died in his body. It was to the end that every aspect of man will find recovery, because a price was paid for it on three layers. Is somebody with me? Good. So Paul, having schooled his hearers for about 11 chapters, arrives and converts the communications of those 11 chapters into a line. The mercies of God. Your understanding of the journeys that God took to arrive at your saved state. That understanding is supposed to propel the believer into another giving. Is that you present your bodies, and there's a translation that says yourselves. It's not just talking about your outward body. It's trying to bring you into making a second layer of commitment, a layer of commitment that secures the remaining aspects of your body into the economy of God, a living sacrifice. Holy. Fully dedicated, fully devoted, acceptable unto God. And the Bible says, which is your reasonable service. Paul brought out that last statement by, in the bid to create or to recategorize his audience. That even though we have a common reality in our spirits, which sorts of color people's expectations when they encounter us, our encounters with men will yield two classifications. There will be the company of the reasonable, and there will be the company of the unreasonable. So when Rev was speaking to us, he was speaking about a Gabriel that showed up in the office. But when you come to the office asking for Gabriel, Gabriel still bears Gabriel by name, but he is no longer a messenger of God. Because the other time I heard the name Gabriel, or the last time I preached on that name, it was a functionary that came with the witness of God. His utterances gave definition to the testimony of God, and when a man disbelieved him, he used the potency of God to make that man go mute for like 9 months until the baby was born. But this Gabriel in the office does not know the way of potency. It's been long since this Gabriel heard from God. They came to him supposing that his utterances were going to give voice to the testimony of God, but this man has not heard God for himself. How much more others? It was a day of showing, but he appeared a disappointment because Gabriel can no longer say that he is not saved, because he has confessed the lordship of Jesus and certain realities have been worked into him. But you see, the remaining aspects of his body are divorced from the reality of his spirit. So Paul is saying, so that we can arrive at a place where God finds accurate representation, go the next mile and offer yourselves. And it's not a one-off thing. Your first confession is a one-off thing. This one has to be a progressive thing. Because the enemy will not give up on your soul or give up on your body. Every time you find out that your soul is dancing to another tune that is contrary to that which is streaming from the kingdom, every time you find out that your heart has found allegiance to another flag, what you need to do is not to come back to be saved again. You will need to come back and reconsecrate. Is somebody with me? That's the design. It is until we appear in that consecrated form that we can now be gifted the ability to fully dissect what your anatomy is as a believer. Because there are aspects of the anatomy that are lodged in your soul and in your spirit, and your body, and until they come into alignment with that which has been worked in the spirit, you cannot fully express. Let's go a little bit further in the word of God. The offering of selves, I did some writing, as instructed by the Apostle Paul, has become very significant. And I found 3 reasons that I penned down. The first is that the purpose of God as apportioned to man cannot be fully carried out when only the human spirit is aligned unto God. 2, there has been for the average believer a settlement around that which has been perfected in the human spirit at new birth. Without the progressions unto the winning of the soul. And when I speak of soul winning, I have strange ideas about soul winning. Because outside the teaching of scriptures, the word soul has meanings. Am I right? So the average person believes that the soul is divided into how many compartments? Okay, so they say that there's the mind, or let's say the intellect, yes, there's the will and the emotions. Okay, 3. My study says there are 6, but let's stay with 3. There is also what you call the volition. There is what you call your subconscious and what you call your conscious. So there are 6. You see, until all of them bow down in obedience to the Christ, your soul has not been won. The winning of the soul is supposed to be a progression. As God begins by His Spirit to bring government to your soul, and your soul yields, that's how your soul gets won. I know you believe that your soul is already won. The last time you got angry, was your anger a revelation of the anger of God? It means that your emotions is still rogue. When that person spoke to you, there was a communication of God in your spirit. But you remember that your name is Tolu and you need to show something. I was on a trip. I've shared this story many times, but it was the most profound lesson I got on this subject. I was on a trip from Ogbomoso to Makurdi a few years ago. I think I was even going for my ordination as a reverend. So it was a hallowed moment. But as I began to journey, and I took a vehicle from Ogbomoso to Ilorin, and I took another one from Ilorin to Abuja to spend the night and travel the following morning, I found out that every time we moved and got a police checkpoint, it was during the Muslim fast, the driver gave an amount of money to the policeman. He said to them, I'll interpret in English, used to break your fast, used to break your fast. Well, I didn't know why he had so much money to give until we got to Day, that's in Abuja. And then he offered to give the vehicle inspection officer the same amount he had been giving them. And the man said, I'm from Plateau State, I'm not a Muslim. Bring your vehicle papers. Then we found out that the reason why it was very liberal was that they had neither a driver's license nor any vehicle papers. I mean, any. Not expired. So, there was no proof that that car was not a stolen vehicle. So, we were detained for 3 hours. And I factored that because of the extra 3 hours, now we need to spend the night in Abuja. So I took the man on a lecture of responsibility. How that, because he was an elderly man, there are things that young men do that age should have taken from you. Anyway, I said it very politely, just like I'm saying it now. You know, now, how can you be a lawbreaker at your age? So, I found that the man took it well until he started to emit curses. And the thing touched me. So what I did was to reach into the potencies of my spirit to give him a lecture on one of the terminologies that he used. What he called me was, he said, you want more loshi? Now, loshi in English is wretched. Now, I didn't even bother finding out the meaning in English. And I asked him, that word that he used, do you know the meaning? He said, what if he doesn't know it? He called me that name again, and I told him, your next 3 months will bring you into an experiential revelation of what that is. Now, before God, I didn't say it stronger than I said it. It was a very polite invitation to a classroom. That was all. Immediately I said it, I felt the tangible expressions of the Holy Spirit lift off my head. What is this thing? So I rushed into a roadside hotel, lodged, and I was on my knees for over 6 hours. I was begging the Lord to return. You know, sometimes he doesn't leave. He's not like a visitor in the believer, but he's not always palpable. And if you have been used to not a mental knowing that is there, I don't do ministry with a mental knowing alone. I stay until he is felt, because he can be felt. Are you with me? Many of us will begin to feel him from this afternoon. Because when you begin to relate with him, there are communications that we call notifications. He leaves them with you. If your knowing of his presence in you is only mental, when you offend him, you will not know. That's why we labor for those ones that we can sense. So I was on my knees and I was pleading with, I said, you know, if I go to Makurdi now, I can be lost on the road. My security is in my consciousness that thou art with me. And it took time. I knew it was not in heaven. I knew it was within. But he had shut the gates of fellowship. I stayed long, and after about 6 hours, because I didn't plan to pray for 6 hours, I just knew you don't get up from your knees until you have recovered what you lost. Some of you, the reason why the losses have taken years is because every time you came, he came. But because he did not flash you early enough, you walked away, and then you begin another journey to find him. It's easier to lose him than to find him. I preached a sermon 3 years ago. I called the title Fragile It was a teaching on the presence of God. That you see, we can labor and build God in this room now, but we can lose him in 1 second. Somebody just needs to do something that offends, and he knows how to get into a corner. I've seen my 3-year-old son do that. You tell him, this morning you will have golden morn wheat. What is in his mind is rice. He just goes to the corner and sits down, folds his hands. So what's wrong with you? I'm sad. And then you're wondering, why are you sad? He said, because this is what he wants to eat. So we'll now say, okay, we'll give you what you want to eat. See, I'm happy now. The Holy Ghost functions like that too. When you serve him, what is not in consonance with what is in his heart, he folds up. At that point, your identity as a believer gets another file extension. He finds the attachment unreasonable. Anyway, because I know you like my story, after 6 hours, he now said, he didn't say I've returned. He began to speak to me. And communication is one of the signs that is close by. He said, do you know that you just sentenced that man and his family to 3 months in poverty? Me, I just said, how can you just say your own? I didn't know I was that powerful. The Lord said to me that many things in that little time have gone into place to make sure that that man has a first-hand knowledge of what it means to be wretched. And it was because a believer got angry, expressed an emotional state that was not mirroring the one of the Father. That's what caused Moses' physical entrance. He was still helped because at transfiguration, he stood on the land. Are you with me? But the grandness of the entry was what was withdrawn from him because he expressed an emotion that God was not currently expressing. That's why it takes long for your soul to come. And if you are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, sorry I'm staying long here, because that's my body. It's consecration. That we can arrive at the place of a full man so that you can be gifted definition. I know you want me to start from the head, but like I said to us yesterday, we can't even talk about the head of the believer because the average believer is detached from the head. We don't have a voice because it's from the head. We don't have sight because it's from the head. We don't have the ability to hear well because there's a disconnect from the head. And if an individual walks around without a head, he loses his identity. What do you call a body without a head? Do you give it a name? It can be anybody. That's why when the Christian shows up, the realities that have to do with a believer can no longer be occasion. The believer comes as an anybody. He's a victim of whatever, you know, creates praise out of people. His God bless you no longer open the gate of a blessing. He may speak in loud tongues, but if he says you are helped, you need to still look for help. It's a burden that I have carried, and the Lord was saying to me that you cannot define what you really look like until the totality of your being. I died for the total man, and I want to get back the total man. Well, whether he returned to me or did not return, I leave you to come into the understanding of that. But it was a big lesson that the closer you are to him, your misrepresentations will not go unpunished. What he does to recover the soul, he also does to recover the body until the full recovery of the body. So Paul is saying to us, offer yourselves. When we were young, Pastor Victor, you know, because did you watch TV when you were young? And there was this robot-like structure that was referred to as Voltron. Now, for those who are younger, you may need to go on YouTube. I think there should still be 1 or 2 videos. What we watched was Voltron and Super Ted, and there was one mouse Danger Mouse. Now what they watch is Paw Patrol. And but that's what we watch. Voltron was a big robot, but that could be separated into pieces. Each of the pieces was gifted competence in territorial fashion. So there was the mud guy, there was the air guy, there was the water, there was the green land person. But every time they stood face to face with those big robots, beasts, what the head will say to the rest is form Voltron. And then you will see a seamless coupling that happens. So that a beast that can match what is coming can be produced. That's what God wants to do. You are powerful. But the reason why the enemy is still strong in territorial fashion is that you are disjointed. There's a song that your spirit is singing as of the Christ that your soul has not learned how to dance to. There is that which your soul is being educated onto, but that your body is still resisting. So, like Pastor Victor said this morning, you know it. We know what you know by what you say. But what you really believe is how you act. So your body is still functioning as though it's experiencing a disconnect from the motions of your soul. And God is saying the key is to come, to consecrate. In a few minutes, we will approach onto that table so that we can find ourselves. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, this was a gospel or an aspect of Paul's gospel that was reiterated again and again. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. It was a prayer that Paul prayed for the people. Can I have that verse of scripture? And the very God of peace sanctify you. The word sanctification suggests that the audience of Paul had the ability to be soiled as they moved around. I used to share that you can't play a secular song and see me dance. It's no longer a labor in effort. My soul can no longer respond. But some time ago I went to a barber shop. And I found out, because it's basically reading, don't even listen to the lyrics, your heart will really need cleansing. So, as the thing was being played, I saw that I was tapping my feet. So, what I decided to do was to go back home. I didn't barb my hair. Because I knew that I was now, many more things can happen in that state. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. Concerning the voice of the stranger, they cannot follow him because they don't know the voice. It means they've been dulled to the consciousness. So when my body, I'm not saying that I'm not saved, but my body is dancing to another tune. It means it's a warning sign that there are more terrible things that you can do now. You are in a moment of vulnerability. If you drive at that time, your eye may stray. So you will need to rush back into your conclave. And you will subject yourself. It's part of the offering. You will consecrate yourself to the sanctifying labor of the very God of peace. I'm already on a second subject, which is the health of the believer. Because this morning, the Lord wants me to look at the anatomy. In just a few minutes, I'll just give you a few parts. So that we can begin to labor to sustain the health of the body. That sign of, or even dancing, you don't know that you are dancing. It's like a subliminal thing. You are not conscious. Somebody just told you, you know the song? And you're going, I'm dancing. It means that you have lost out on health. Because you have started engaging mind trouble. Your mind was supposed to be an expression of the mind of Christ. But now the mind is betraying the owner. So you will need to recover the mind, or there is already a fracture in your anatomy. Are you with me? For people who gossip very well, for some people it's a trait. When you gossip like that, you need to know that it's a sign that you are not healthy. A part of your body is currently suffering from paralysis. It has lost out on the life of Christ, and right now, it's expressing by another spirit. That's why you can talk about people for 3 hours and nothing moves. It's an unhealthy body. When you find yourself that way, you will need to subscribe to the very God of peace. And what it does is that it sanctifies you. How? Holy. The fracture or the infirmity was found in a pack. But it's a revelation that you have been infected. The other parts will also soon begin to function like that. It's the only way to be afloat. Don't wait till you have become everything that God is not. When you see an aspect, because when we talk about the anatomy, it's a network. It's a network of head, ears, eyes, hands, the framework. Once a part starts functioning badly, the rest will soon come into a jamming experience. So you don't wait. I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. These are two expressions of the very God of peace to sustain your consecrated state. So that if in the next few minutes you say, Lord, I surrender all. And it's sad that that song is only rendered when we came to give our lives to Christ. It's supposed to be an everyday song. Every time you come up with a list of some things that have not been surrendered, you surrender them. Every time you come up a list of surrendered things that have become reclaimed things, you will still need to sing again and surrender them. So that God can activate this twofold expression, which is to sanctify you wholly and to preserve blameless your spirit, soul, and body unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. Before I journey further, we want to take 5 minutes to engage this process. In case you found out that there are aspects of your life that are no longer on the altar, you want to get serious with Jesus and put them back there. That's what we want to do. Ensure that you are praying. In case you feel that the things you will say will make the person beside you look at you like an unbeliever, you may need to excuse yourself and go far so that he can hear you. Let there be nothing that defines your makeup that is not on the table. That's the premise upon which Jesus wants me to build this afternoon. I surrender all. I surrender all. I have gifted you my intellect, but my emotions still run wild. I surrender all. You have my heart, but you do not have my eyes. I surrender all. You have my hands. I have devoted my life to working, to laboring, to advance your kingdom. But there are hidden parts that are not currently on the table. Things that have gifted the enemy an inroad to create the state of unhealthiness. Kimamo kaba sote lamadi. We put them on the table. We will not give the enemy a chance. And if you feel that your seats are not strong enough to recover your state of consecration, you may want to come to the altar and just kneel before Jesus. The altar is open. You may need to come. Take a bold step. Let the totality of your being come into the fellowship of this commitment that you are making. I know altar calls come at the end of meetings, but Jesus wants to do so much this afternoon. And he's inviting you to come.
Hello.
Can we breathe this song?
To be my blessed Savior, and I surrender all.
The key word there is all. Is all. Amro bolato se sote me mama pata. Prim freno sotib do ke hate. You may be saying, my hands are not soiled, it's just my mind. If he has your mind, he will get your hands very soon. Oh, sabemoro hatapilate. You can help me with the song.
Oh, I surrender, Lord. And I surrender, oh, and all to be my blessed Savior, and I surrender. Oh,
two more times from your heart.
And I surrender.
If you need to be at the altar, don't remain on your seat. There is a sorcery that is happening here. He's separating. He's separating. Very God of peace, and what he's doing is he's sanctifying and he's putting in prison every structure. It's so that Jesus can have his man in totality. That expresses in our anatomy as individual believers that there is a work that you have perfected in the spirit that has not found revelation in the soul and in the body, and we give ourselves to you again. We come upon the altar as a sacrifice that is alive. You paid my price. Have all of me. Have all of me. Let this battle in my soul, this battle in my body be quenched. For many of you, it's the end of addiction. Yes, It's the end of addiction, because His hand comes to sanctify. His name is Jehovah Mekadishim, the Lord that sanctified. And He's working it. It's in subliminal fashion. You will find out that there are habits that you can no longer remember how you stopped them. You will not be able to teach how you stopped except to say that the sanctifier came. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because you are severing from supplies that infect. You are causing them to rise up on their feet in health. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. You may be seated. Rise. Amen. All right. What we just looked into as regards God's instruction to me this morning is the act of consecration, is to donate yourself in totality unto the use of another. And that's how our received holiness becomes active. The blood of Christ produced a man who is donated to God. But a man will need to self-activate the terms of his donation. I will live for you. That's how it works. It's by the repeated expression of this reality that the man who has believed in Jesus begins to function in health. What the state of health now begins to do is to ensure that all of the different aspects of the believer's anatomy are working together. If you take a look, should I go into that first? No. The reason why we needed to go through this process is because repeatedly from yesterday we have come into the consciousness of the falsehood that has become attached to our expressions as believers. That in case your life continues to express the way it's expressing, and you come to define yourself as a believer, we may need to query what your belief system looks like. It may be one that is divorced from Paul's belief system, from Peter's belief system. And like I was sharing, I think I was climbing stairs in Port Harcourt last week Friday, and I was telling the person that was with me, okay, we were sharing it too, when we're climbing the stairs, was with you, sir. You know, Pastor Allwell is my guy. He's been my senior since university. He was a year ahead of me, so he's still my guy. Please help me celebrate him. It's a honor to be served by you. But my head is still correct. You're my God. So we were saying yesterday about the progressiveness of the expressions of depravity in the body of Christ. There are things that 20 years ago, if they showed up in church, everybody will fight. But the church is currently functioning according to that, the dynamics of that proverbial frog that was dropped into normal water. And then the water was placed on a stove. What the story said was that if the water had been boiling and the frog was dropped into it, it would still have had the energy to flip out. But because the water was at its comfort temperature, and the gas or the coals begin to warm the water, the frog begins to function in adaptation. And until what you have is a non-living frog, one that has been boiled, ready to be consumed by those who eat it. Selah, because some people do. The reason for its demise was because every increase in degrees of the temperature, the frog found something within itself to acclimatize to it. And some of us need to, at the cost of suffering the wrath of many people who come to church now announce that we are on a journey of depravity. We are in a planting season, and there are many things that are not in consonance with the will of God for the functions of the church, for the outlook of the church, that have been planted in this generation. And only those who have been given foresight to see into the future can know the kind of harvest that will reap. Because the things that we looked away from, our children may come to institutionalize. That's the problem. So the fight in some of us is not about us. I say this before God, humbly speaking, you will try hard to derail me doctrinally. I don't want to say it's an impossible job, but my pursuit is so slim that you will need to manipulate the personality of the Christ before you can derail me. You can't do it teaching me power. You can't do it teaching me angels. I have found that song, that hymn says, how does it start? Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it wherever you go. Yes, the refrain says, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. My soul has found the joy of heaven. It's not an experience, it's a person. And as long as you cannot take my heart away from the joy of heaven, there's nothing you can teach me that can derail me. Because if it doesn't define him, I'm redefining him, I'm safe. However, what about our children? Have you thought about the allowance, the effect of the allowances that were gifting to depravity? How that the scripture has become a tool to legitimize the things that Paul did not understand how they should be in church. Things that Paul was afraid to make mention among the brethren are things that have found unrestrained expressions amongst us. And what those things have come to do is to function as toxins to dislocate the anatomy of the believer, so that in the day that the head speaks, the hand can no longer do what is in the head. The shape of the average believer now accommodates a mind in the hand, accommodates a mind in the feet, that our feet can journey into places where the head has not commanded, because every aspect of the new believer's life has a mind of his own. I know what the Bible said, but this is what I will do. It was a terrible state in the days when Paul gave ministry. And what he did was to leave certain instructions with his son in the gospel, Timothy. I'm going to look at Paul's instruction to Timothy critically, and then we're going to look at maybe just the head and the ears. Because one of the things God said to me that he will do is that the spiritually deaf will begin to hear in this session. So look at the head and the ear. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's an instruction that we are all used to, but we want to look at it more critically. 1 Timothy 4:12. The Bible says, let no man despise thy youth. And I know there are adults here. I'm very young. But most of us are youths. So Paul is saying, let no man despise thy youth. Leave the scripture on the screen. Why was he giving that instruction? It was because Timothy was strategically positioned to man the gates of truth. And when I speak of truth, it has to do with doctrine and a way of life. However, the positioning of Timothy did not take place in a season where he had so much to show for in human age. Because it pleases the Lord to choose to call a man when he wants to call that man. However, that man must not function within the context of his natural age. He must be more conscious of the callings of God that make him a gatekeeper at whatever gate he has been sent to than his natural age. Are you with me? I know you are young. I know we are young. See, me, I'm just 41, so that's very young. But what I'm saying is that there are things that people our age, there are things that they do. And we can feel that because we are still at that age, we still have a lot of time to be accurate. I was speaking to a youth couple in the city of Ogbomosho. He had just finished, and he felt that his last 2 hours before packing his bags to leave should be spent around me. I was visiting in the hospital that day, and I spoke to him for 2 hours. This is what I think you should do. This is what I think you should do. And this is what the Bible says. These are my experiences. And while we were speaking, we were seated on a wooden bench. I saw that the man at the edge of the bench, an elderly man, began to slide progressively towards us. You know, he stands up, but when he sits, he has moved. Until he became within hearing distance of what we're saying. And it was like that for about an hour, 30 minutes. And then bade the young man bye, prayed for him. Both of us were in tears because I love him so much. And he left. When the young man left, I was about standing up. The elderly man came to me and said, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You are young." I said, "Yes." He said, "You see, everything you told that young man is true. Is that what you live out as your life?" I said, "Yes, sir." I was just using scriptures to define my own existence to him and how we should live. The man said, "Please, you owe God the responsibility to keep living like that." He said, "Because your words brought conviction. And if I need to go back to my church and align with these things you have said, I will lose 25 years of ministry." What he meant was that he veered off the path of accuracy 25 years ago. The couple we're speaking to was not even 25 at that time. So he meant that he had found an erroneous path before this boy was born. This boy had endured ASU strikes and protest strikes and finally had finished youth service. But all of his years of endurance could not make up the years of this man's error. So I asked him a very penitent question. "What will you do, sir?" He said, "It will be shameful. God will just forgive us." So what he said, meant was that he will continue on this path. God will show mercy at the end. The young man or the young lady who is aflame for the Christ must understand that age can be a disadvantage. Where people will, you know, instruct because of your inexperience with life. In that day, may you find men around you who have walked with Jesus. I remember walking into this year. I was very late last year, 29th of December. I was very distraught. And I had to send the message to Papa. I said, "Papa, it's like my life is wasting. I just clocked 40 about a month ago that time. And I was like, I married at 37. So it means when I'm 50, you can know how old my son will be. I'm in Ogbomosho. And Ogbomosho is not like Lagos, you know. The average person here is still better than some of us. I hope you know. Don't act like you don't know. You know. There are things you can do in 1 year. If God does not help us, it might take 10 years. Because of the economy and everything. I look at my wife many times and I feel life should be better for this woman. It's a lot of sacrifice, but it's still not. There are still things we want to do and I still tell her, "Give me 2 months." And that 2 months is a month of prayer. To make sure that at the end of 2 months, I don't disappoint. She's a good woman. Please, if you see her, help me greet her. She's a good woman. I tell her many times, if she had been one who put pressures on me, I'll have derailed. I'll have looked for many. She just believes that where we are is where God wants us to be. Let's just keep moving on. But I had to breathe and said to Papa, "It's like I'm wasting." So he sent me a message. He said, "Tolu, when I was your age, I've not achieved what I've achieved." And then he gave a few indexes to show that God has been fair to me. So I recovered my love for righteousness. When we started building, our building in Ogbomosho, people came to me and said, "Hey, young man, still have a big car. You don't have landed property. You don't have a house. Who builds church at your age? So I said, but God said, build with me. And that's why I decided to build. I will be mad to build if God had not sent me. That's not ambition, it's madness. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. But they still counseled that was not how to. What they were trying to do was to cast aspersion on my pursuit of accuracy, because they found out that I was inexperienced. It was supposed to be the lot of Timothy that progressively there will be a veering off the path of accurate doctrine and accurate existence, because he was a child. And so Paul had to instruct him, do not let any man despise thy youth. See it as an advantage. That like Papa would say, as explorers explore space, now you have all the energies to explore the Christ. It was not just a let not. Because instructions do not find total expression if what we were just told was what we should not allow to happen. So Paul had to tell him, be thou an example of believers. It means that in the day, someone needs an example. Someone comes to church or comes to the market and wants to give voice to what a believer looks like. You will become the object of his doctrine. That I've been speaking for 30 minutes. You don't know what a believer looks like. Look at Timothy. That's what Paul was saying. And my build up to this point is to reveal to us that if you are a dismembered believer, you will not be one that can be used as an example. Because your example finds expression in your total existence. One whose spirit, soul and body are aligned to the end that these aspects of the anatomy that are lodged in that threefold layout work together. What were the six gates of expression that Paul revealed in this verse? The first was in word. Somebody say in word. So the believer will be given the privilege to vocalize intentions, to vocalize dreams, to vocalize persuasions. Colossians 4:6. Help me. I want to use my last 12 minutes differently. So I have only 15 minutes. Okay, we're not there. So Colossians 4:6. The Bible says, let your speech be always with grace. Now, grace, according to definition, is like a coin, a two-sided coin. On the first side of grace, it administers what we call your merited favor of God. And so when the Bible says that your speech be always with grace, it means that there is a communication of God's redemptive intention. That's what is captured within his unmerited favor in everything that you say. Somebody say everything. Because what he said was always. Not when you are in church, but in every place you find yourself. For such is the speech of a believer, seasoned with salt. The other side of grace is supernatural ability of the Christ. So, it means every time I speak to you, you must be brought into the consciousness of God's redemptive enterprise too. You must be brought into the consciousness of the supernatural abilities that are in Christ. There must be a communication of giftings, of energies, of empowerment systems, so that every man that listens to you is bettered because they heard you. Not from a podium, but even on the street. That's who the believer is. The assignment is to fill the streets of Lagos with speech that is always with grace. Even when you're offended. Seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. As timid as Peter was, And that's one of my convicting spots when it comes to utterance. As timid as he was, as intentional as he was to veil his identity. That young girl, an immature girl, said, "You are one of them. For even your speech betrays you." It was Peter was not speaking in tongues because that economy had not been activated at that point. He was saying normal things. He was answering normally. But the lady could smell the fragrances of the one with whom Peter had been in his utterances. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. In word. The second we find here is in conversation. And we may do 1 Thessalonians 2:10. I mean a race. In conversation. In conversation. The word conversation there defines in conduct. How you behave. How you behave. Paul, speaking to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 2:10, said, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you that believe." Paul was a star in the company of believers. His witnesses were not just men. Because there are times when, because you are the star in the company, you have men who are in solidarity, who can never say anything wrong about what you are doing. But Paul had to call what you call a star witness. And Paul's star witness was not men, it was God himself. That if you know God, ask him how holily and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves amongst you. God is my witness. The average believer cannot use God as a witness when it comes to lifestyle. So Paul has to tell Timothy, there are cheat codes to mute the speakings of men that have to do with your age disadvantage. Is that when you speak, your words come with grace. You are functioning beyond the capacity of your age. The way you behave, you look like somebody who has been tempered for like 100 years, even though you are just 35. In word, in conversation, then it goes into charity. Into charity. Into charity. There are two graces. There are two graces that I find that have found expression in the, I call them the great graces of the believer. One of them is love. The other one is faith. Now, this love is not love for God. That's not what Paul was saying. It's love for towards men. Okay, I won't say this here. There are other things I need to do before saying what I need to say. But you see, as believers, and especially as a people that believe that God has given us a commandment to man the gates of accurate Christianity, there must be, and I'm not speaking into any layer above. I'm speaking to us because we see what everybody does on Facebook, right? We see what everybody does on Twitter. How that we mangle anyone that looks as though has an opinion that is contrary to our own. Are you with me? Have you found out that if your friend says something that is wrong, you will judge him differently? Why? It means it's not exactly about what your friend says. It's about who he is to you. The filial expressions within you make you give him a soft landing. It means sometimes the hardness of correction is actually a revelation that love is lacking. Selah. Love towards men. Some of you saw the incident. One of my brothers, that's Pastor Daniel Lawande, did a teaching and the thing grieved my heart because I saw him scratch the Holy Spirit. And I went to town to tell him, give him a dose of judgment. that they are. I was actually preparing a sermon that time. That's what people don't know. A sermon on the milestones on the path of error. So what I decided to do was, in my correction, I compressed the sermon and gave a list of 9 things to make you know that you are journeying. You know, if you are going to Bomosho, when you leave Ibadan, what you see is OG, maybe 85. If you start seeing LAG 12, it means that your driver has redirected you. Are you with me? Once you pass us in Obomosho and you are still on the express, the next milestone is not IL, it's JB. It means if you see JB5, don't be excited. You are about to get into the city of Jeba. You are past destination. Are you with me? So what I did was to compress those 9 things and gave it in about 7 minutes. Now, if you speak like this, it's because you have failed in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. By the time I came down from the altar, my heart was caught because I knew that I had expressed that labor in a way that Jesus was not excited about. I had fouled Paul's protocol of expression as a believer. So what I decided to do was to come and do an apology. Some people viewed the apology and, you don't want to read the comments. They didn't even understand that it was an apology. They still battered the young man. But you see, my wife looked at me the night I came back from church after the apology, and she had tears in her eyes. She felt that I was humiliated. And I told her, you are the only one that is sad. Jesus is excited. Because it was an attempt not to do anything, not for recognition, but to recover my state according to what Paul had told Timothy. You cannot love God if you don't love his people. And you will not be truly powerful amidst his people if you don't love them. So I call it one of the two great graces of the believer's life. One is love towards men. So Paul had to tell Timothy, in love. And then he adds another one, which is not in some translations. He said, in spirit. Somebody say in spirit. In spirit here has to do with your emotion, the movements of your emotions. That's what he meant. That there is a way the emotion of a believer. Don't worry. Since Rev said this teaching will continue, I know they'll touch the head and the leg. But I think I told you about the head yesterday. That the believer is designed to be headless. His head is who? It's Christ. Okay, so if you journey with that, your life will be sweet. He will see for you, will hear for you, will think for you. He will smell for you, he will taste for you. So you will not put your mouth in something that Jesus has not pioneered. And that's safety. In spirit, in emotions, there is a list that expresses the emotions of a believer. There are no-go areas. Every time those things manifest, it's proof that the old man just found a space to breathe. And I know the instruction is to let the poor breathe, but you must not let him breathe. You must quench it. You must quench it. You go on a journey of mortification. You go to the altar and tell him, cut now. It will make you bleed. It will affect your pride. But it will only be a revelation that there's still pride there. I used to attend the church. And after we began ministry, began to pray vigorously, do the things that we're doing, somebody now got mad in church. And they now invited me to pray for the person. That time I was a master of migraine. Whether it was moving migraine or isolated migraine, I could handle it. But madness looked as like something that operated on a high level. I remember the first thing that I had with migraine was when Papa sent me to preach for him in Futa. They brought a mad lady. 8 years madness. And I had to call Papa to say, see, you told me to come and preach this one. He responded sharply, Pastor, deal with it. So I had to refer the madness to the following day, spend the whole night. And Jesus took me on a journey of 8 years to see how the madness was cooked and that a whisper will cast the spirit out. So that's what that was my first time. But I'm not even sure that time had happened before. No, I think it was after. So I got to the hospital, I was in t-shirt and jeans, and the nurses would not allow me to enter because this lady had just finished beating everybody in the hospital. Now a lot of doses of sedatives have been given. She was fast asleep. And I said, I need a communication from her to pray. They said she can't wake up now. So immediately I touched her bed. She said, Pastor, good evening, sir. I said, okay. So we prayed a simple prayer. Those big things, a simple prayer they need. You need more insight. Because you see, it's only God that the Bible says whatever God doeth is for. It's because there is an economy that powers the workings of God. It's an economy that is sealed. Are you with me? It's fully sealed. When God does it, He locks it. He keeps the key. The enemy's things are not forever, because he's not proficient in sealing things. There's always a gate. If you know the gate, you will puncture the balloon with it. Don't believe me, but that's how it works. Let me not tell you the rest of the story. I know you like stories. Let me not tell you. Let me finish, because the Lord wants me to finish. I was speaking of love, right? Oh, no, sorry. In spirit. Emotions. The enemy will never give up on emotions. That's one of the cheapest gates to get at you. So it's a gate that you must mark. But there is a way a believer reacts to things. There's a way a believer responds to things. Okay, he's giving me clearance. So, I now prayed. The lady got well, and the lady went to church. I didn't know that pastors had attempted the madness. About five of them. So when she got to church, she said, well, I want to thank God, you know, during the week I was mad. And they brought me to church. I was here for 3 days, and the pastors prayed for me. And after on the fourth day, they said that I was a medical case. It's the first time I'm hearing that church was, well, it's not wrong. It's not wrong. What I do sometimes is send them to the hospital and I continue praying. May you not kill somebody because of... So that they referred her to the hospital, and Pastor Tolu came. She mentioned my name and prayed, and I'm here. So I became enemy to five pastors because of a testimony. And after a while, I was instructed, have you been ordained in this church as a pastor? Why do you pray for people to get well? Said, you must not come here again. So I was sent away. One day they had a program and I was minding my business, and the Lord said to me, attend that program. I know when he talks. So I walked in and I sat down. What's doing? You were in that meeting with me on campus. Yes. And nobody knew why I was in that meeting, because I was ridiculed to leave. I sat in that meeting. They even introduced me when they saw me. They still called me pastor. Oh, you come to sit in the front? I said, no, I sit here. A few minutes later, the Lord said to me, your time is done. You can leave now. And I left with tears running down my eyes. What am I looking for, revelation or inspiration? Why did you bring me here? And you asked me that day, you said to me, with all these people have done to you, why did you come? I said, the son is designed to please his father, even if it costs him tears. I knew God was excited, but my heart was bleeding. Every step I took towards the meeting, because they say, oh, I remember the introduction, one of the great ministers we have around, and I know what, these people went as far as Facebook to blackmail me. And everybody that associated with me and them, they told those people to choose where they will stay. I was pleased in my heart, because my life is supposed to mirror his expectations, even though my outward show of emotions was of one whose heart was bleeding. If you will win the battle in your emotional sector, you will need to prioritize the pleasure of the Father over your pleasure. For thou art worthy, O Lord, Revelation 4:11, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, including man, and for thy pleasure they are. It means you were not created to be pleasured. You are a gift of pleasure to God. And if it costs you tears, if it brings you shame, you must be willing to hang your head and be sure that even in that shape, the Father is pleased. The fifth is faith towards God. Faith towards God. My faith has found a resting place, not in a form or creed. I trust the ever-living Word, whose wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no more plea. Even the love that Jesus died and that He died for me. In faith, in strong conviction, and unfeigned trust. I know you've tried to pull through life on your terms, but when God begins to instruct you to run errands for Him, if you have not reposed faith in Him, then you will become a disappointment. He lays on us more than our natural capacities can express. That's the design. And so you will need to look up to Him. You know, I grew up in a Baptist family, so hymns are here. My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day behold. You will have your eyes only on one. If I perish, I perish, but I will never share the testimony that I came this far by my strength. That's faith. That's faith. Well, there are many testimonies. I remember, I think I shared it in Lagos, when my wife was 7 months old in pregnancy. I heard from the Lord that death was hovering. And so I locked our house door and gave her the key. I said, stay in this room. Stay in this house. And I took a prayer walk to pray. 7 minutes later, we had a visitor who called her from the gate to come and open the door. She ran to the gate, and as she tried to roll back the gate pulled from the hinges and collapsed on her. We had to get like 8 men to lift up the gate. When I came, I met a bloodied wife. Screamed to Jesus, called Papa. Papa said she'll be fine. God gave me a father. And I'm not trying to defy Him. But His words in assurance are like Jesus' words. I was weeping, ran back home, saw her in blood. Rushed, drove her to the hospital. I was playing Moses Bliss song. I can't forget that song. You're too faithful to fail me. Because I know where I brought her from. It was from an Islamic family. What will they say? That my God made her cross but could not preserve her in pregnancy. Got to the hospital, ran into one of the rooms, knelt down, asked the Lord, what will happen to my wife? The Lord said, rest, she's my daughter. Okay, I know she's saved, but the baby is not saved. So are we starting again? He said, before she got pregnant, you dedicated that womb to me. So that boy is not saved, but it's my own. There is a first layer of preservation that comes by dedication. And so I rose. The ultrasound revealed that the baby was still asleep. No impact. And that baby is going to be 3 years in a few months. In next month. Some of you, what God will do is to isolate you from the structures that are giving you confidence. When Reverend Austin spoke about, give us this day our daily bread, we have lived our almost 4 years in marriage from that standpoint. That if a need shows up in the night, what I will quietly tell my wife is by daybreak, I would give the money. Initially, I will need to pray long into the night. Now God has unlocked an economy. Now, it may not be excess, but there will be nothing that is needed that it will not come to. It has been my cure for corruption. And the reason why some may be listening to me and are not expressing in faith towards God is that there are options. Our father said, whatever God will not give, I will not have. I hope it's still the commitment of the sons. Because we knew what they looked like. And we saw how constantly following Jesus has produced enviable men. What story will you tell to your children? That when you had an opportunity to believe God to where you are now, you decided to compromise. It will take time. But faithful is he who has promised, who also will do it. I want to invite a young person here under the sound of my voice into that place where God becomes your only object when it comes to trust. He wants to make a story out of you. I'm writing a book. I started writing it scatteredly. The Ark of Preservation. That's what I titled it. Because I've seen God strangely. Let me share one more with you. Then we'll go to prayer. A few weeks ago, I came back from a journey. And one of our choir members told me that they saw people measuring, trying to dimension our current meeting venue. And so, when they approached the person said, oh, the building is sold. So I had to go to the owner. You saw this thing, you didn't tell me. He said, you didn't know how to tell me. You know, you can't drive a church out of a building. So you need to be careful. And so I did the maths to say, how would we get here? How do we pay up? Because they gave us 2.5 months. How do we pay up? And the Lord was quiet until IET. And during IET, the Lord began to speak to me. This is what he said. He said, Tolu, the instruction was to build together. People have been given. I have not given. My wife was shocked. I said, yes, that's what God told me. Because when he talks like that, I don't want it to stay. I quickly call somebody and say, come out here. Our head of design unit was also around, Jami. And I said, God said, we have not given him room to contribute. I won't tell you the rest of the story, but the last 2 weeks has been God contributing. Because trickles has become much. He said he wants to go to the bank and give his own contribution. And that's proof that we are building together. And I have watched the bills diminish in quick fashion. Because now he said he wants to give. It's people that have been giving to you. That's why you keep looking up to them. He gave food in the wilderness. No human being cooked it. In our city, they do blood money. A student in 200 level wakes up for 3 years every month with 60 million naira. He goes to spend it in the market. He wins with it. He oppresses with it. Because of a pirated reality. He can give to you by himself. And many of you will begin to experience it. Those things are reserved for these days of hardness. And you can't close your eyes to it. Can you pray in 1 minute, increase my faith? That's how a believer is known. He operates by an alien economy in Christmas days. O Mahato Kato said, Dambe Posato. I sense that there is a giving this afternoon of the spirit of faith. Keep praying. The numbers are increasing. But there is a first installment in six individuals. It is the consciousness that what God called you to do can be done. And is resting upon you. Yes, it's resting upon you. I mopateme mopela toa. Me mobile compesele rase copalianto me saba. It's resting. It's a fresh dose of confidence that you can win by faith in God. He's still at work. Paul's last instruction was impurity. And there is a demand that believers rise with these six evident gates. My time is up. Can I have 5 minutes? Not five. I'll keep to it. Impurity. So what will we do? Stay with me. What will we do is to use the next 3 to 4 minutes to engage for impartations from God. One will be the impartation of the spirit of faith. The other will be an impartation of the oil that releases the craving for purity. Your desires to be pure will be at all cost. Somebody wants to pray. We'll pray for maybe 3 minutes, then I'll just pray and then I'll go to my seat. Yes, there is a release of the economies of God that power men for this. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. All right, my time is up, but let me pray. These two realities that we seek have been sent as rain. I believe. That's what He showed me. But so that you can believe, the Lord will, you can stop praying now. You can stop praying now. The Lord will quicken unto faith by His Spirit. 11 individuals, just 11. As you go, if you have struggled in your thought life with all kinds of strings, you will find out that a supply has been registered. Yes. That will make you want to be pure at all costs. That's what He's saying to me. But there are 11 individuals who have been assigned by God unto labors with the Spirit. And you have refrained because you have felt insufficient for too long. His hand begins to rest. His hand begins to rest. His hand begins to rest. Now, let the ushers help me find the 11 and bring them. There are 11. That's what He's showing me. That's what He's showing me. That's what He's showing me. Just 11 as a sign. 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 Even outside. Even outside. Lord, cause your hand to rest. Cause your hand to rest. Cause your hand to rest. Now, you can play now. Cause your hand to rest. Cause your hand to rest. Let it become stronger upon them. As by your Spirit, you begin to impart for faith. You begin to impart for faith. You begin to impart for faith. He showed me 11 and His hand comes upon them. Yes, He rests. Upon them. Keep bringing them. Keep bringing them. He will strengthen you. Yes, He will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. He opens your ears to hear Him. There are communications that we quicken faith that people have been brought into fellowship with. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, we banish fear, we banish fear. You are strong, you are strong. I am the Labo Beba Sando, Riape Besule Tamaya. It works. Now, there's someone There's someone Reverend Austin spoke about. The Lord is quickening that back into my heart. A young lady that was involved in the healing ministry. If you are in the congregation, please come forward quickly. Come forward quickly. I sense that visitation returning. You were a young lady. When you were on campus, you were into the healing ministry. Jesus. Alright. If that lady is around, can you come? Can you come quickly? Quickly, I'm done. Is she coming? Wave your hand if you are like that. Okay, please come.